Hello and welcome to the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, episode 46, where we reconnect with life and also with gaming, or with gaming and then life. Either way. It is Sunday, November 22nd, and I am one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as Jay Bond, with me. As always, the man who never needs an introduction, who should not need an introduction, but we allow it.
Oh shit! I thought you just gonna continue with that.
No. That was.
I think they should know by now. But if they don't, just in case, let's just remind them who I am.
It's your not boy just Mike.
There, yeah, there you go. Not just yours, it's their boy, Mike.
Yes, indeed. So, I can't say weather's nice. It's pouring out.
It's meh.
We're allegedly getting a storm that's coming from the Midwest that had snow, and I'm not psyched about it. I don't want any snow. Give me snow in December, and give me, like, no snow. Give me 3 inches of snow, and that's it.
They said it snowed here. I looked outside. I was like, where's the snow? I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, so, you could have had like a dusting and people were like, oh my God, yeah. It's snowing. It's like, no, I think that's
basically what happened. People were freaking out and then, you know, wake up the next morning. Okay, well, where's the snow? You guys lying to me. Why'd you lie?
Yeah, why are you lying?
Why are you lying, yo?
Oh, God. Anyways, so this happened on the 19th. This was published on the 19th. It was on Kotaku. You've probably heard of it, and it's titled A Price of Games Journalism by Stephen Totillo. I don't know. He's the editor-in-chief. And I'm just going to summarize. And basically, he writes this article about the fact that Kotaku has been blacklisted from Bethesda and Ubisoft for now. 2 years, I want to say. Yeah, for the past 2 years. They also, well, they say for the past year to a lesser degree, ostracized by Ubisoft. They don't give them review copies, requests for comments on news stories, nothing. They just ignore them. They don't respond to emails, whatever. And, you know, the whole article, he talks about that he thinks that they've been cut off since the December 2013 report when they basically announced that Fallout 4 was coming, which hadn't been released yet. And they also did, the Ubisoft was when they announced Assassin's Creed Victory, which ended up becoming Assassin's Creed Syndicate in December 2014. They think that is most likely the reason from Ubisoft blacklisting them. And they never, ever get any responses about anything. They never even, they're just assuming that that was probably it, because my guess is that's probably maybe the last time they got any responses to anything. Right. Which I, you know. And so it's, this happened at a PR and marketing level, and leaving any developers who want to talk to us or facilitate coverage have to do it on the sly, which that like right I'll stop forgetting the rest of it for right now. So when they say the second they say who want to do this or facilitate coverage of their games have to do so on the sly, you're implying that means it's occurred, but you don't want to say who, because now you're assuming that those people might lose their jobs or face ramifications.
Right.
So my immediate thing is, so you're okay with leaking announcements of unreleased games probably well in advance of what the PR and marketing people want to happen, but you don't want to then say, but so-and-so is still talking to us on the DL.
Right.
Which is...
That's still pretty shady.
It's not that it's shady, it's just, it's kind of like, oh, so you want to pick your battles. So you have no problem releasing the information that you've received about a game getting dropped early, but you have a problem with releasing the name of a person who might be giving you said information.
True, right.
I get that you can have anonymous sources. I get that you can have people that you contact anonymously, but it seems weird to be upset that they've blacklisted you when you willingly are now, or, I mean, they're not admitting anything. I'm just making an inference that if you're saying that people have to do it on the sly, that you're, it implies that this is happening, which means people are now going out of their way to give you information, whether it's a leak or, you know, protected information, whatever, we don't know. So, you know, he talks about how he's not the only media that's been blocked. You know, it happens to other people. It's not uncommon, but he, you know, his thing is it doesn't get talked about publicly. So that's why I assume he wrote this whole thing. And, you know, they said they weren't always good to Bethesda games. And it's like, that's whatever. I feel like most of these publishers, you know, don't care if you always write bad reviews about their games.
Right.
But they probably care if you release information that they were trying to keep, you know,
withheld under wraps
for a certain amount of time, because maybe they wanted to release it at a big gaming event. And if you, you know, imagine if like whatever was going to be announced at PSX got announced today because somebody was just like, oh, hey, by the way, this is being announced at PSX.
Right.
It would kind of put a fucking bombshell in the thrust of whatever PSX's exciting news was going to be.
Because
now everyone knows. So it's like, oh, it's not a big deal if I go because this is going to be the announcement. Right, yeah, you're not going to cancel the event. And it's not like you can just be like, well, fuck it, we'll announce something else.
Yeah.
You know? So I totally, the problem is I see it from both
sides.
You know, I get that he's upset that he's been blacklisted because he's received information and said, I'm just going to put it out there. But I also totally respect the publisher's decisions to publisher developers' decisions to be like, you just shot our plans, you know, our strategic marketing plans that we pay people thousands of dollars to do as a job. You just shot it in the foot with like one press of a post key. You know, so I can totally see them being like, fuck it. We, you know, and it makes total sense. If you have like two friends or like three friends, right? And you're like, hey, Mike, don't tell Jimmy, but Jimmy is a fucking douche.
Right.
And then you tell Jimmy that I think he's a douche. I'm not going to tell you that anymore. I'm not going to tell you
anymore.
I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to give you that access. You know,
because
you broke my trust, right? So I get the developers and the publishers have every right to be like, we no longer trust you because you're
just going to tell everybody,
right?
Yeah, you're just going to post it.
You know, but at the same time, I get it from the perspective of Kotaku being like, hey, we just found out that Andrew thinks Jimmy is a douche. We need to put this up online.
Right, yeah.
You know? And while that's not like a perfect analogy, it's like they came upon...
Regardless, they need something put up,
yeah,
whether it's true or not.
Well, it's not that they're putting it up whether it's true or not. They're probably vetting it. The question is if a pile of documents landed on your desk that were clearly not meant for the public at this point in time.
Oh, right.
But you know that it's legit, you know. Do you shelve it and say nothing? Do you bring it to the company and say, "Hey, somebody sent this to me. I don't know, you know, what to do with it," right? But then people, because I was watching a couple of YouTube videos of people's opinions on it, and Colin and Greg had stuff to say about it on one of their episodes of Colin and Greg Live, and, you know, the Twitter sphere kind of blew up for a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's people staunchly on both sides of the fence. There are people on the side of the publishers going, boo-hoo, cry me a fucking river. You know, there's people who are like, you burned a bridge by publishing information early. And then there's people on the reporting side of it going, they have the right and they should publish information as they receive it because that's what news is. And then there's people like me in the middle, and I totally get it, you know. And people are like, you know, the people on the publishing, you know, the Kotaku side of things are like, we are not mouthpieces for the marketing strategies of these game developers, right? Because it's like, you know, you're rehashing PR blasts, you're rehashing whatever, you know. It's like, the problem is it's not like games news isn't, it's entertainment. It's, you're giving me information about products I want to buy. It's just kind of more interactive than like reading a Consumer Reports magazine about dishwashers.
Yeah.
You know, like when I want to look up information on a dishwasher, I like go to Sears and Amazon and Best Buy's website and I start reading the reviews. I want to see what other people said, you know? There's maybe there is, like, dishwashers.com network where, like, people are doing, like, in-home 15-minute reviews and exposés on, like, the LG 3200 10-speed dishwasher, right? You know? But there are people doing reviews on, hey, this game plays better on PS4 than it plays better on Xbox One.
Right.
You know? So... Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in the middle of it because I see it from both sides, and I get it. And I get that Kotaku wants to be able to just say, hey, listen, we get information, we put it up on the internet. You know, we get the – or not that that's the exact thing. They probably get information, they look at it, they go, what the fuck is this? Then they go, is this legit? And then they start asking people that they have, or they ask the source, or they ask whatever. And you don't have to publish the names. I totally get that people have a right to anonymity.
Nice.
Because, like Colin was saying on Colin and Greg, like, tons of regular news in the political sphere and things like that is published anonymously, you know, an anonymous source,
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm fine with that. So somebody gives you a thing, you go through it, you look and see if it's legit, and then if it's somebody that, you know, maybe you regularly get information from and you have trusted it before, you go, okay. And then, you know, you may still say, hey, XYZ company, I have my hands on this, you know, document saying whatever about your company. Would you like to comment? You know? And it's
right.
Like, well, and, you know, the only comment they had was, how did you get that? You know?
Yeah.
And I see it from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't want to get some trouble and so-and-so and this
well, it's
and
not
that.
Even there. It would appear that they don't care if they get people in trouble because in theory they're putting it up anyways, you know?
Right.
I imagine in any single instance of a leak or breach of contracts and embargoes and things like that, somebody's getting in trouble on the developer side. My assumption is that, and I know from experience in certain cases of things I'm not going to talk about what it was because then it would immediately lead to what happened, but there was an instance when it was a beta, I'll say that much. There was a beta, and within like 2 days, it was already on the internet. People were posting it because they...
I'm assuming it was a PC beta, obviously, then.
I'm not going to answer that question. So
that's fine. No, that's fine.
People got the beta. They installed the beta. They started using it, and they were like, oh, this is cool. Threw it up on the internet, you know, screenshots, gotcha. Whatever. Well, and
threw up all the information you could.
It could have been within 48 hours of even getting the beta. I hadn't even opened it and got like 4 emails being like, you know, NDA breach, terms and contracts NDA, please read, urgent, you know, and it was these emails being like, you agreed to an NDA when you got this, when you opened it, and it said terms and conditions, the first two paragraphs were talking about the NDA, where it expressly stated that you weren't supposed to be publishing anything, and, you know, and several people broke that thing, so they,
me, they're like, okay, well, that's it.
Yeah, and so, because I was,
I would be like, I didn't even touch it.
Well, that was the thing, right? Because, yeah. Because it was so soon in the process, and because it was a networked thing,
everyone got that email.
No, they knew exactly who the people were. Because they knew when the things were posted, so they knew they could eliminate it based on, like, which was kind of neat, that whole side of it. You know, they looked at how many people had actually activated it, and then how many people had activated it by the time those things were posted. And then from that, they went, you know, they had to comb social media and find out, you know, of those people who had accessed it between the time periods when the leaks had occurred, they figured out who it was. But that's not that's not an easy thing to do, and that's kind of a pain in the ass for the person who whose job was managing this
imagine.
You know, beta, and they got chewed. I know them,
imagine
so
they got
chewed out, mm-hmm. and they were like, you know, once we put it in their hands, there is next to nothing we can do, you know?
Right.
The only thing we can do is hope that they know how to read, basically. And, you know, and then it comes down to the thing where most of these beta agreements and alpha agreements and pre-access, whatever, many of them say no streaming, no screen caps, no YouTube, no talk, no discussing it on the internet, and they always end with, you know, may pursue damages for legal action for damages.
Right. We will go after you if you, you know, we find out.
And many of them even say, like, you're playing an this is the best part. They all say, like, you're playing an in-progress build of a game. Expect problems. So then when people online and like shit on it because they're like, oh, it's broken, it's like, well, you're playing an in-progress build before the game is finished.
And
even years before a game is finished. Hell. Like, do you expect it to run flawless? No.
Right.
Come on. You know, wake up. So that always was one of those things that kind of made me chuckle. But I get it from both sides. I get that there's people who want to be like, whoa, I'm in this beta, it's awesome, let me tell you about it. But I also get the side of the developers being like, you can't tell people about it. Don't do that. It puts us in a precarious situation. Don't do it, you know? And one of the people who was on the Bethesda, Ubisoft side of things, who specifically said, like, you know, about Stephen Totillo, whatever. He said, like, boo-hoo, cry me a fucking river. Like, you don't get free copies of games. Aw. You don't get flown out to events. Aw. He's like, so this is what you have to do. You got to wait in line with everybody else at midnight or Tuesday morning, buy the game, play it, and then write your content on it. And yes, that means your content won't come out as quickly as the content of the people who do receive review copies and review access. He's like, but guess what? You have to play the game, you know?
True.
You can't break the rules, and breaking the rules would be posting the information early. And both sides seem reasonably fair, you know?
Right.
Kotaku's argument is that, you know, they're trying to treat games journalism as true journalism, you know? Mm-hmm. And many people are being like, but it's solely entertainment-based, you know? Like, people aren't probably
sitting at, you know, Starbucks, drinking a coffee and thinking, oh, hey, I'm going to read about Doom or something.
No. More in the sense of how important it is, you know?
Gotcha.
Like, if you publish a leak about, you know, the chemical composition of what goes into the food that you eat at a restaurant, you know, people need to know that. People need to know, stop eating at that restaurant because, you know, you found out through an anonymous source that, you know, they're putting poison in the food or something, right? That's important.
True.
That's, you need to know that, you know, that saves lives or causes a change that is good because it will cause, you know, the food company to change the way they operate, right? You know, people dumping nuclear waste improperly is something we need to know about because that affects way more people, right? Whether or not a game is being worked on in the next installation of a franchise or series, whether we know that 2 years before it comes out or 6 months before it comes out doesn't really have any weight on our, like, day-to-day lives.
Right.
So, you know, what benefit did you get from leaking that information early, right? You know, you've now basically told everyone, hey, we know this game is in progress and they're working on it, but it's probably going to be a few years.
Yeah. Like, well, I was going to say, the funny thing is, I remember, I think it was not even just Kotaku, there was other saying, oh, it's true, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe the next week, okay, never mind, false, we lied, it's not coming out. Like, it was untrue.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and sometimes out. That happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens because
they have to retract their statements that they...
Well, but in some cases they're retracting it because they could just be wrong, you know? You know, mm-hmm. If the PR people contact them, then they're like, we're not actually making that game. Like, on the record, we're not making that game.
Right.
Yeah, they have to change it because now they have to put this quote in saying the PR people contacted us and said no. Like, I had that happen to me once. I was writing stuff for PAX Prime, and I had grabbed all the information from a press kit that they had given me, you know, that said, like, when the game was coming out, how much it was going to cost, and what consoles it was going to be on, and, like, features it was going to have. And so, like, I had put the thing up, and, like, a day later, I got an email from the developer of the game, and he was like, hey, saw your coverage, totally appreciate it, but this, and this aren't true. And so I emailed him, and I was like, well, I took it from the press kit, so I didn't, and he was like, and he emailed back and was like, no, he's like, we're a small team, which they are. He's like, right. He's like, honestly, we probably just didn't update it. He's like, so... He's like, you know, this is the correct information. So I went and updated it.
Right.
I just changed it, you know. Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the end of the world. I didn't, like, post a new post being like, errors. Yeah, I am apologizing for giving you the wrong information. Right. Like,
just update the article or whatever.
I updated my article and I put in a note, you know, I think I put, like, information from press kit was inaccurate as of the time of this post, you know. Because whatever. So I don't, you know, if someone, you know, the problem is if somebody posts a thing and says, hey, we got this information, you know, the I guess the reality of the situation is every decision you make has consequences.
Very, you know? True.
And in some cases that consequence is being blacklisted by a company.
Right.
And in some cases it's, you know, not being blacklisted by a company. And I just, you know, I'm not Kotaku. I don't run the website. I don't work for them. I don't write for them. I don't know how they operate. I don't know how they make their money. I don't know how any of that works.
Right.
So I don't know how much of an impact it makes for them to publish something like that. I don't know, you know. I don't, you know, is it a, hey, if we don't publish this and someone else does, you know, maybe we're not the only ones who got this information.
Confirmation, yeah.
Could, you know, who knows, right? And who wants to be the one at the, you know, back end of the news junket because they didn't publish it first? You know, who knows? Maybe that was what it was.
True.
I don't know. I wasn't there. Dog, stop barking.
We'll just pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah. Just pretend you didn't hear the dog barking in the background. But, so that's my whole thing. You know, I'm not there.
I agree.
You know, I'm not right, in the moment of receiving this information and being like, whoa, this is a big deal. You know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, me personally, I don't want to know a game's being worked on 2 years from now.
No, yeah.
Like, I don't want to know because it's just going to make me not care about it. It's going to make me not care about the game, which is what happened with so many games.
Like Last of Us,
for Last of Us was a big one. I was so psyched when we first heard about The Last of Us, and I've said this story a million times. And then we heard nothing for like 6 months, and I was like, fuck this game.
You just don't care, yeah.
And I was like, don't care. You know, because I want continuous information about the game. And then, so, you know, then the next time, which I think would have been a year later at E3, when we finally saw some actual footage, and I was like, oh, man, totally into this game.
Excited, yeah.
And then nothing until PAX East 2013, when I played the game and was like, I'm in for real, because now I finally played the game, you know? I don't want to see a screenshot of the logo and some music for two years out. I don't want to know. I want Bethesda to do what – I want game companies to do what Bethesda did with Fallout 4 and be like, hey, this is Fallout 4, and you can play it in November, you know? I want that. I want the six-month wet my appetite, you know? Mm-hmm. Just give me a little taste, and then tell me it's only going to be a little while. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to tell me that I need to be hyped for a game that isn't coming out for 2 years. A lot can happen in 2 years. I might not play video games in 2 years. I mean, I probably will play video games in 2 years. But, you know, that's not exciting to me. And in fact, that might ruin a game for me.
Right, because you hear so much, and then there's just a long pause for a good year or two. Yeah. Or maybe just a year, and it's just like, okay, well, you know, whatever.
Cool story. Yeah. Thanks. So, but yeah, so that's the, I mean, and I'll link the Kotaku article in the post notes, the show notes, because it is, I mean, it's worth the read and it's interesting.
Oh no. Yeah.
I mean, it totally sucks for Kotaku, because that's, you know, that means that every Ubisoft game that comes out, every Bethesda game that comes out from here on out, they're probably not going to get any information on. You know, until whatever happens that they, you know, fix
their
bridge.
Trust back, whatever. Yeah.
And it and the funny part is because they don't respond to it. I mean, it could totally, excuse me. I was about to sneeze.
Could totally just be some kind of ruse or.
Well, no, it's not a ruse.
I mean, or not a ruse, no, but way. I mean, you know, just
somebody could have been like, fuck
Ubisoft
Jim.
Or...
Fuck Jim. He's Jim over at Bethesda's PR is an asshole. Right?
Right.
Somebody could have said that at Kotaku, and Jim finds out, and Jim's like, oh, well, blocked, blacklisted,
not gonna,
right?
Yeah, not, you know, he
could
respond.
Just, it could be nothing to do with the leaking of the post, and everything to do with maybe the way one of them treated somebody at Bethesda, you know?
That's true.
But you'll never know. It's not like they're going to be like, yeah, oh, it's because, you know, such and such said something about such and such.
Yeah. That's true.
Which, and that's like, I always just sit there and I go, man, I wish it was something like that. Like, I really do, because it would just make me laugh. Yeah.
So, we're done.
Yeah, that would be probably the best part of it altogether.
Let's just pretend that's what happened.
Yeah, mouth off to Steve, and Steve let Sally know, and it was a game of telephone, and...
Yep. Play phone tag, and then finally they find out, and he's like, all right, well, I'm just not gonna answer their emails anymore.
Yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, like, the other thing too that I always, and maybe it's because, you know, I've written for small gaming websites, and I'm not blacklisted, they just don't care, you know. Like, I may reach...
So what is this kid going to do?
Well, it's not that what am I going to do. It makes sense from a business... Like, I get it from... And that's the thing, right? I don't get upset about it. I get it from a business standpoint. I might reach 1,000 people, right? Mm-hmm. Kotaku could reach millions of people. Who are they going to get more bang for their buck out of if they give them a review copy, right?
Right.
You know, but obviously Bethesda isn't even interested. And that's the other thing too, why I kind of tend to side with Bethesda and the game publishers more. It hurts them more monetarily to not give review copies to big organizations.
Right.
So whatever they did whatever Kotaku or the other networks did was obviously more than just dollars and cents to Bethesda, right?
Right.
You know, it cost them more than in whatever form of you know, value you want to look at it. It cost them enough to say we would rather eat potential sales by not giving them early coverage of our games.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Because they're just... Because,
you know, people always say, like, you're cutting off a mouthpiece for your games. Which is true, you are. You know, Kotaku, right, yeah. IGN, Polygon, you know, Rock, Paper, Shotgun, any of these. YouTubers, you know, Boogie, whatever the numbers, you know, Boogie?
Yeah.
He talked about how he was blacklisted by Kotaku because he wouldn't side with them in something. And I think it was like I think they said it was Gamergate related, but I don't remember because it was just an offhand. I saw it in the comments on something. So, but even like this happens to YouTubers, you know,
right?
You know, YouTubers get blacklisted by companies, you know, small review places. You know, I don't think I've ever been blacklisted. The reality is I send the emails out to everyone because my take on it is they can choose to not reply. They can choose to reply and say no, or they can choose to reply and say yes.
Right, yeah.
Those are my three things. You know, how upset am I going to get if they don't email me back, and how upset am I going to get if they email me back and say no when I have such a small viewership, you know?
Right.
And it's like, I totally get it, you know, and I'm working on it. I remember I had been emailing with somebody about review copies for some really cool gaming laptops, and because I didn't get one, I'm not going to say the name of the company because why would I give you free advertisement? but I emailed them. I was like, you know, because they sent me the request. You know, if you want to request one of the laptops, you know, they send them out. You demo it for a bit. It comes pre-installed with games, and you send it back, you know, after you're done, right? And no so problem. I was like, you know, cool. You know, so they sent me the request. So like I filled it out and they sent back and were like, oh, we need like 250,000, you know, you have to have like 250,000 subscribers on YouTube, or, you know, X amount of page hits, or you know, X amount of downloads on your podcast, or X amount of followers. And it was like, or a cumulative number factored out of all of those. And I was like, I'm not even close to that.
Right.
I was like, why did you send, like, I was like, you sent me the request. Like,
yeah.
And like, so they were like, so they were just like, you know, which I guess was kind of neat, because I guess it meant I made it onto their list of people who I guess would have been eligible, even though there was no way. And so he was just like, you know, I'll keep you on the list because there's no point in taking you off the list. He's like, because you at least responded, you know?
Yeah, right.
Many PR people actually really appreciate just getting a reply altogether. You know, even if you say, hey, I'm sorry, I don't have time, or, you know, I don't think my viewership would be interested in this.
Right.
They'd rather hear something than nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most of the time I get a lot of stuff for card games. I don't really know why, but I get a lot of stuff for, like,
and you at least reply and say, hey, this is not my...
Yeah, I just always reply back, like, one, I don't play card games, and two, I don't have anyone to even try them with, you know? Because usually I'm not... And the same thing with, like, local co-op games, right? You know, we are, you know, thousands of miles away from each other, and most of my friends who play video games are thousands of miles away from each other. So every time I get a local co-op game, I email them back and I'm like, the game looks really awesome, but I don't have anyone to play this with. Like, the website and the people I write with and the people I game with, none of us live near each other, you know? So it's not that I don't want to, it's just that I really can't, you know?
Yeah.
Unless I found a way to virtually network in a person as the second player in a game, you know?
Right.
But it's like, why don't you just put multiplayer co-op in your games?
Right, yeah.
You know, sports friends, asterisk, friends not included.
Damn it. Yeah, right?
That's exactly, like, it's just
a game, you know?
That's my biggest thing. It's like, sports friends, asterisk, friends not included.
Yeah, you know, don't tell me it's multiplayer, but then be like, oh, wait, no, it's only local. Like,
big problem for me. But you know, for other people, it may not be an issue at all. You know,
right? Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. The whole discussion of this was more just to kind of highlight it as a thing that's going on, and just to talk about it. You know, like I said, I think I tend to side more with Bethesda only because Bethesda's stance actually costs them money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Kotaku's stance is that if we get information and we can vet it and you know, verify it's pretty much legit, we're going to mm-hmm. publish it regardless of how it may affect another company's.
We're going to put it, you know.
So
as long as it's legit, we're going
to
post it.
You know, and to me, that says more about their concern for, I want to say it's their concern for getting clicks and getting money from the clicks, right? Because it's
basically,
you
know?
But it's but the problem is I just don't see how, in a, you know, breaking the information that a game is being worked on really, really, really is something that we need to know in advance. You know, there have been game articles broken about the treatment of women in gaming. That shit needs to be published, right? You know, if people are getting sexually harassed in the workplace and nobody's doing anything about it, and then that person comes to you on the DL and gives you all this information and provides you with names and things like that, like, publish that. That helps people. That gives people who need a voice, you know?
Right.
Especially where in the gaming community, it's, you know, it's filled with a lot of hate.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, you know, stories like that, I want mm-hmm. to be published the second you have enough information that makes it a good idea to do, you know, that I'm okay with. Publishing that a game is being worked on and it might not be out for like 2 years, I just don't care. Personally, I just don't care. I don't want to know because it's, like I said earlier, it's going to make it so I don't want the game, or it's going to take the fun away from it. It's no different than, you know, Galaxy, right? I don't know how many times I saw Galaxy at PAX, multiple PAXs, and I was super psyched for the game. And they moved their studio to Japan, and they basically like rebuilt the whole game too. So it took a while, but mm-hmm. I had kept, you know, when you keep seeing a game and you keep playing builds of a game, you know, by the time it does finally come out, there is this, you know.
It's like I've kind of already played it.
It's well, yeah. It's just not, it's not and, as fresh and exciting as it was originally, you know.
Fair enough.
And I'm not picking on Galaxy. I think it's a fantastic game. I have it. I bought it. I did. I went and bought it when it came out. But you know, my desire to really like jump into the game full throttle was definitely mitigated by how long it took. From when I knew what the game was and I had played the game to when I finally got it in my hands, you know, on my PS4. So.
No, yeah, I get you.
You know, and the same thing happened with The Last of Us too, right? And then it was like The Last of Us Remastered. It was like, I was psyched because I was like, cool, I'm going to be able to play it on PS4, so I won't have to play it on the PS3. And then I bought it and was like, I don't even care.
I don't even remember playing it much.
Yeah, like I bought it and remembered streaming it, and then I remember playing multiplayer and streaming some multiplayer. You know,
a few matches here and there. I think we played maybe like a solid month of multiplayer, maybe, yeah,
probably
something like that. And then after that, it was just like I've already played it. You know exactly what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, go listen to the first episodes of our podcast where I fucking destroyed Drive. I didn't actually destroy Drive Club, but I picked on it, you know?
Drive Club, Destiny.
It took like 2 years to come out.
Yeah.
You know, at least Destiny I was excited to play. Destiny, for all intents and purposes, did actually deliver, you know?
It did, yeah.
You know, the story sucked, but the game worked, you know? Drive Club took tons of years to come out, and then by the time it finally came out and I got it, the multiplayer didn't work. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And then by the time you, by the time you fixed it, I didn't want to play it anymore because I had such a bad experience. Master Chief Collection, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a huge fan of the Halo series. Not the biggest, but I'm a big fan. I have a huge nostalgic place in my heart for it.
Yeah, everyone. I think everyone does.
I don't know if everybody does. Not everybody had an Xbox. But
you still went to your friend's house, though. Like, as far as people. Like, at high school, you know, for me, any gamer, all they ever talked about was Halo. Or, you know, and then Call of Duty. But anyways, yeah.
Right. You know, and I never went back and beat Halo. The only campaign I had started, because I was going to play them straight through.
For me, was 2.
I haven't finished Halo 1. I never even bothered finishing it.
Like, I played like a mission or two in Halo 1.
Yeah, it's like it's not even finished. Like, hey, but if you get an Xbox One and you get Master Chief Collection, we can co-op the campaigns.
I am excited for that.
And we can co-op
I did want to run a campaign marathon.
That would be cool. We can do that.
That'd be
kind of
cool.
We could stream it. Maybe try and...
Pretty sweet.
So, you know, the like, that's... So anyways. Yeah, I mean, it's... And this is like... This becomes this multifaceted discussion of is it right for them to publish it? Is it right for them to be blacklisted? Is it right for the companies to blacklist them? And I think the answer to these questions is all yes. So they can do whatever they can do. They can do whatever they want, but they do have to be aware of the consequences. And you can't sit there and say they blacklisted us because we published something way early in advance. Well, they have a right to be like, well, thanks.
Yeah, you know, we were going to tell people that, but thanks for ruining it.
Like, could you imagine being at a car show and they've got the car covered with the cloth, right? And somebody runs up and just fucking yanks it off the car.
This is the new car, guys. And they're like, okay, we were going to wait.
Yeah, you know, and like then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, crap, we got to like raise the banners on the name and the logo and stuff, you know.
It's like, well, great.
And the fireworks didn't go off, like...
Just everything's just ruined. Yeah. Or I guess not really ruined, but I mean,
it's not ruined, but it lacks the punch that they were hoping it would have. You know, the punch that they had been building towards and creating all this other outside stuff to work around. You know,
because they were going to have that, not silent conference, but the non-private or the non-public conference or whatever.
Right. Yeah, the press announcement.
That's when they could have announced it, but you know, it was already announced. Or officially already announced.
Yeah. And so Colin, when he was talking about this on Colin and Greg Live, he used this argument because he was talking about how, like, you know, most of these developers don't have unreasonable requests. And he was like, you know, I like football. And let's say I know Bob Kraft, and Bob Kraft owns the Patriots, which I would know, but most people probably would know that. And he's like, and let's say Bob Kraft invites me to watch the Jets play the Patriots at Gillette Stadium, in the box, sitting next to him. And all he says is, but you can't wear Jets gear.
Mm.
And he was like, that's not unreasonable. Because I'll be sitting next to the owner of the Patriots wearing Jets gear. That looks weird. So if he says, hey, you can come into the booth, hang out with the owners, hang out with all these cool people, eat this really good food, because I'm sure it's probably really good, in this nice box, and you get to watch a football game from, like, I don't know, probably... pretty good view of the field, but you can't wear Jets gear. I'd be like, okay, fine. Like, I'll wear a fucking 3-piece suit if you want me to, you know?
Right? Yeah, it's fair enough.
Like, so if they give you information and they say, listen, just don't announce it until this date.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
You know?
Give us time before
is that really outrageous of them to ask? And I, you know, that's.
I agree with that statement. I don't think so. It's very reasonable to say that. It's like, hey, we'll let you post it, but wait.
Yeah. So like, if you find out that a game is in progress or that, you know, some voice actor's voice is going to be in a game and what, because I remember even that. I remember I asked somebody at Naughty Dog pre. It was Uncharted 4.
They were like, hey, just don't say anything.
It was the initial like teaser video for Uncharted 4 before the whole thing got changed and Amy Hennig had left, and it was Todd Stashwick's voice in the background, and it was like, "You left me to die, something something Uncharted 4." And I remember emailing Naughty Dog and being like, "Is that Todd Stashwick? Because it sounds a lot like Todd Stashwick." Right. And like they emailed back and were like, my guess is they probably knew because people would just recognize a voice. And I was like, is that Todd Stashwick? And they emailed back and were like, we can confirm that it's Todd Stashwick, but please do not don't publish this on social media. And I was like, oh, okay.
Easy.
Fine. Like, yeah. I just wanted to know for me. I didn't want to know so I could go be like, hey, everyone.
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell everyone, yeah. If no one knows, then whatever.
And then it wouldn't have mattered months later when he's not even on the project anymore anyways.
Right, yeah.
And presumably he was replaced by Troy Baker because everyone's kind of assuming that character was Nate's brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so everyone's... And which is why the game took a huge turn from the get-go anyways, because that means Nate's brother would have been pissed at him in the... the alternate reality version of Uncharted 4.
Gotcha.
That was kind of what people's thoughts were, is that it was his brother and he's pissed at him and now he's back. But now obviously from what we've seen of the game, Nate and his brother are friends. Unless maybe he backstabs him later in the game, who knows? You know, it wouldn't be an Uncharted game if he wasn't double crossed by somebody.
It's true.
Eddie Raja. What's your thoughts, right? Kotaku gets blacklisted. Do you think it's bullshit?
I do and I don't. My whole thing is I need to go back and read the full article, not just skim through it, but if the person that gave them the information was like, hey, please don't say anything. And then here they go, they post it. But of course, they said they're not going to say names. So he or she is still nervous because it's like, hey, I told him not to say anything. So
right. If somebody found out that it was them, yeah, who dropped off the information.
Right. Yeah. So at that right then and there, I'm just like, oh, well, you know, that screws that person over. And also, you know, all these devs who were like working on this project and they're like, okay, we're not going to tell anyone yet. We're going to wait for it. This is our baby. People are going to love it because this is what they've been wanting, but we're not going to tell them yet. And then so-and-so tells Kotaku and they're like, cool, post it. And then, you know, that person told them is like, great, great.
Yeah.
So I'm not for that. But at the same time, if, you know, I'm not pressed, but then, you know, if you get information and it's basically okay to, you know, post, you know, you can't really say anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if it's just a straight up post it as you get it.
Like then.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they were asked by that specific source to not post it, then okay, I'm not.
Yeah,
for
not
that.
Post it by, don't post it until XYZ date. And in many cases, in many cases, I don't know. In that instance, it could be. They may say, don't post it until this point in time because that might give me enough time to maybe cover my tracks on how I got it, which is a kind of shitty thing because it's like, well, then you know what you're doing is bad. You know, if you need time, but again, it's like I'm hypothesizing all of this. I don't know what was said. If there was some sort of like, don't publish this or don't publish this until, or hey, here's this stuff that I found, you know?
Right, yeah.
They could have just done one of those bump into somebody with a newspaper and then yeah, one person's exactly got the newspaper say. And the yeah. other person doesn't, or...
Yeah,
they're sitting at a bench. Hey, how's your coffee today? Good. And then the person gets up and, you forgot your newspaper! And they just keep walking.
Exactly, yeah. Could have been some event.
There's a manila envelope inside of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fallout 4 and Sharpie on a disc.
A dev left or something, yeah, and they just picked it up. like, oh, okay, we're just not gonna tell them when we picked it up. And the guy goes back. He's like, shit, it's gone. Fuck.
Yeah.
And he just didn't say anything. It could,
no,
it could have
I mean,
been
it, yeah, it
like,
could have been somebody dropped it and whatever.
Just
or
say,
somebody dropped it off. You know, sneaky,
someone from
sneaky.
Kotaku was at a convention or a party and overheard some devs
that
talking.
Too.
Like,
well, that's
cool.
That was something that somebody else had talked about in one of their YouTube videos. Was that, you know, there's a difference between what you hear that's on the record and what you hear that's 100% everybody knows it's off the record.
If you're at a
party that is not a gaming invited party, it's not a press thing, like you're out to dinner with, you know, several people and it's just dinner
and they
talk
just...
about something that is not privied information, so you shouldn't ever be writing that. And that happened when we were at PAX Prime a while back, and I remember we were hanging out with some developers, and this was, I think it was, I can't remember if it was a PS4 feature or if it was a game feature, and I remember because there were some Sony people and some game devs, and then some friends, and they were talking about something, and they're like, oh yeah, well that's because this and this do this, and I remember looking over at the Sony person, and like my eyes kind of went wide, and he kind of just looked and was like, you didn't know that.
Right.
And I was like, no, I didn't. And he was like, okay. And he's like, well, you
don't
didn't know that. And
yeah,
I was like, and then I looked at him and I was just like, you're right. I didn't know that. And that was as far as it went, because
gotcha.
If I had taken that information and you know, thrown it on the internet, like it might one, I never ever want to be on the receiving end of the legal department of any game company ever, ever. Any game, any news company, any game company, anybody. No, not at all. So I'm going to play by the rules pretty much 100 times out of 100, because it's just not worth it. They will always have more money and more lawyers than I will ever have. But it was the fact that he realized that he needed to make sure that I understood. When I understood immediately, I was like, there's no fucking way. Like, I was like, in my head, I'm like, that's so fucking awesome. But I was like, I'm not getting sued because I may have dropped, you know, some some advanced knowledge on somebody. Like, not fucking worth it. And I think that, you know, Kotaku would rather just, or at least it seems like they would rather just, if they get information, they vet it, they can prove it, they're going to publish it. And that's fine. That's totally their prerogative.
Right. No, yeah.
You
that's,
know, but
that's
I'm never going to, I would never be the person to do that. Not in a million years. Yes. One, I'm risk averse to begin with. But like, two, if there's a chance I could get sued because of it, and like I had said earlier, like so many betas, alphas, whatever, pre-access games that we play in that, you know, even public betas, do not post this online. Do not post this on screenshots.
Right, yeah.
You know, maybe pursued for legal action. Like, no fucking thanks.
Yeah, no, I'm good. It's like, for one, I don't have any money to, you know, defend,
you know,
myself.
And the thing is it's much, it's just like, it reminds me of the, when that music organization went after everyone for Napster. The RIAA, Records Industry, something. And a kid at my high school, back when I was in high school, he got sued for like $400,000.
Wow.
Yeah. They negotiated it down to something like $30,000, which is still absurd. I don't remember the actual numbers, but it was hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it was negotiated down to like 20 to 30,000. It was still like the price of a car, you know? And it was because he was downloading music and sharing it. And so for every single song he had downloaded and shared, they fined him like the max fine you could per track. So that was what it came up. That's why the number was so high, because it was like the max you could fine someone was like $5,000 times X amount of songs.
Each song.
And they dropped it down to like, you know, out of 10 bucks, whatever they did, you know, I don't, like I said, this is now
whatever
going on 10 years ago. You know, so, and it was like, and I remember that might have been the literal moment in time where I was like, I'm never downloading music again.
Yeah,
that might have been the moment where I was like, I'm not going to download music. You know what?
I buy everything
if they
now.
If they can find him, they can find me. You know.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's why I just buy everything now. I'm like, nope, not worth it. Not worth it.
So, not worth it. In closing, everyone listening, don't do drugs.
Don't steal. Yeah, don't do drugs. Don't steal information.
Drink your milk.
Don't leak information.
No, you can leak information as long as you're willing. As long as you're willing to accept the consequences of what might happen, and
or it's under a fair reason.
Like again, like I said, leaking information about a game does not cost anyone their life. It may cost a bunch of people a project that they had worked on, right? But it doesn't cost anyone their life.
If it's under fair reasoning, go ahead and leak it. If it's not, then beware.
Oh, no, you have to beware. You have to be aware of consequences no matter what you do, you know? But, my whole thing is it's just like...
It's like, oh, hey, you can tell people this, but give us like a week.
No, that's not going to... But that's not even... That's not going to happen. They're not going to say... They're not going to say that. My whole thing is if you want to leak something, be aware of the consequences. But also be aware of how much of an impact that information makes. Yeah. You know, like... True. I don't care if I know if a game's coming out, but I do care if someone is like poisoning the food that I eat, you know? True. I care if a company is improperly dumping nuclear waste, you know? I care about those things. You know, I want to know about that. Like, don't, like, I don't care if a game is coming out. That's not like...
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
it's just not like so. Like if in the, within the context of the gaming industry, do whatever you feel like. Really, my thing is just you know understand that you know
you will
ends up.
Someone's gonna catch trouble.
That's the thing. Someone's getting in trouble for that. Like, because they're gonna want to know where the information came from. Who was the last person that had it? Where did they go with it? You know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I meant like, you know, and then they're going to look at everybody's emails, whatever. It's like, and it's one of those things like, is it worth it? And that's the question you probably need to ask yourself. Is it worth it?
And that's what we leave people with. Is it worth it? Ask yourself that at the end of the day. Is it worth
it? But anyways, this is all advice. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do.
That is the perfect way to end it.
That is the perfect way to end it. So no shout-outs today.
That's Hodge Twins for that advice.
Yeah, you can, you know, this is not, it's professional advice, but it is not licensed advice. So that does it for episode 46 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast. And remember, only you can prevent forest fires.